This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home Monday morning, and we are so excited to have another show together. So here is Alina, I'm from Romania, and I have today my friends Clara from Spain and Brian from the US. Good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And we also have today our guest, Marta. And I will let Clara to present her.
Okay, welcome, Marta.
Good morning.
Marta is our special guest today. She was born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and arrived in New Zealand quite a long time ago, in 1989. Her jobs have been mainly in hospitality here in New Plymouth, and she has also been involved in representing her Argentinian culture at the multi-ethnic extravaganza since 1995, and very engaged in our Latino community with all sorts of events and gatherings. She enjoys music and has volunteered for Walmart over the years. And at the moment, she's working at Devon Intermediate. And she's also teaching Argentine and Italian cuisine at Taranaki Community Education. And then she has plenty of other hobbies that we will cover and she will share with us. Welcome, Marta. How are you today?
Hola, buenos dias. I'm very good. Nice to talk to you all here.
Beautiful. Buenos dias, Marta.
All right. So it sounds like you came to New Zealand quite some time ago. Can you tell us about how you ended up here? What was the decision-making process, and what inspired you to make a new home outside of Argentina at the time?
Well, going back to a long time ago, I was living in Buenos Aires and studying, and I have a hobby that was Tai Chi Chuan. And in our school, a lady from Taranaki, she was there living for 4 years, and we became friends. And after a while, getting to that age, I want to travel overseas. I thought, I want to go somewhere far away from Buenos Aires. My best girlfriend in Argentina, she went to Europe, but at that point, I didn't have enough savings to go to Europe with her for my ticket and accommodation. And this friend from Taranaki invited me to come for a summer, and I paid for my ticket, and I stay in their house in Inglewood for 3 months. I went back to Argentina to carry on studying, traveling 3 or 4 hours in the bus, doing my hobby and all that. And the following December, this person, which she already started a Tai Chi school in New Plymouth, went to Auckland to do a year course of something and invited me if I want to come to teach Tai Chi. And I thought, oh, that sounds good. I love Taranaki, the green, no pollution, no 18 million people like in Buenos Aires, and I can do my hobby and I can learn English. Then I was very lucky that the students pay for the ticket, organizing garage sales and raffle tickets, because for those 8 months while I went back, I only saved $200 American. And then with that, they sponsor my ticket. And I arrived here to do my 1 year teaching Tai Chi work. And during that year, I came with the idea to stay maybe for 2 or 3 years to learn English and, you know, maybe save money. But during that year, I met who is my husband, Kevin. And then I stayed a bit longer and longer and longer. That's how it was.
That's a far really away,
far
story.
Away.
Yeah, it's a nice story of, yeah, we have heard like sometimes like people don't come with the idea of staying, but yeah, circumstances change and then you end up staying.
Yeah, yeah, I ended up staying. That 1 year teaching Tai Chi became 2 years. I finished my Tai Chi job and then I did all sorts of jobs like, you know, kitchen hand. My first study after high school, I studied electronics technician. That was for 3 years. And I graduated in that. And after that year, my second year was part-time waitressing and part-time welding circuits. There used to be a factory here in Taranaki that they did hair, hand dryers for bathrooms, you know? Mm. And they exported to South Africa. Believe it, all that happened in 1990. And I was during the daytime doing that, and then in the afternoon I did another jobs. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I'm always interested in hearing what people's inspiration to travel overseas is. Is there anything that you can remember about growing up that inspired you to want to adventure overseas or travel?
I will never forget at my bedroom, my family have a big mapamundi. I don't know what is the word. It's like a world map, like the size of that wall there. And that was ended to be in my bedroom. Mm. And always I look at it and I look at all these countries and I say, I want to go there. I was a little tiny point in the world. And really, maybe that was the inspiration. I, of course, later on, you know, knowing about New Zealand and reading about the nature and all of that, being an island in the Pacific. But probably answering your question, just looking at the map and see how the world, how big it was, and we were in the south of America and this little dot somewhere. That was like inspiring, just curiosity very much.
Mm, I can totally relate. As a young child, I had a relief map of the United States. So the mountains, it was made out of plastic and the elevation would come off the map. And so I would trace my fingers through the mountains. And I think that inspired a lot of desire to travel and adventure and see the world. And I also had a globe in my room. And I'd just spin it and put my finger on random places.
Yeah.
And
we have the globe too.
So nice that you have this kind of globe.
How did you end up getting involved in Tai Chi while you were in Argentina?
With another girlfriend, because I had to say we are six girlfriends from high school, and with other girlfriend, we were looking for something to do, and we went and find out, like we went to meditation class in Buenos Aires, and we didn't like it, just the place we went. And one day, just from the bus, we saw Tai Chi, and then we got off the bus and we went there. And everyone, the group, was doing a form, because what a form is like, when you learn Tai Chi, you have different Qigong exercise, breathing exercise, but you also learn what is called the form, which is a set of movements, all continuously play, like done. And all the group was about 25, 30 of them doing it. And my friend and I, we just look at each other and say, oh, it looks like magic, you know, how they were moving softly. And then we say, oh, okay, when is the next class? And we just went in the next class. It was really nothing that, we were just looking for Tai Chi. We were looking for something more, I wouldn't say spiritual, more deep, because at that time we didn't know what we were looking for. We were not looking like for doing meditation or mantras or anything, just an activity, maybe yoga or Tai Chi, and Tai Chi came across and we went back to the class and I stayed. I have 4 years, because to come here is like these days you had to have a degree, and we had a 4-year degree, like we had to have so many classes and do an exam with the master. And we were helping instructor after 3 years, and then in the 4 year is when I came with my Tai Chi instructor degree, which was matching the same as the lady from New Plumen have. And then I was the only one be able to do her job. You know, like things haven't changed much regarding coming to the country. We had to prove that we are from the same school and all that. Yeah.
And how was teaching here when you first came to New Plymouth for that like first year of teaching?
Well, it was...
How did you find coming to a different country and you're starting to teach Tai Chi here?
I really enjoy it. The group of people were really, really interesting and committed. There were many artists and, you know, all sorts of different people from different backgrounds, but they were really like community orientated. Why did I say yes to a job is because our Chinese master in Argentina, he didn't spoke any Spanish. He spoke English, and I didn't know any English. Then I thought, well, if I can learn by copying, then I could teach if people copy me. And I find it a bit hard at the start because I didn't know any English, but it's, you maybe ask me next, what was my first English? They were the parts of the body. I had to learn everything, you know, like
and then explain the different forms.
Yeah, and then I will have phrases like relax the shoulders, suspended from the ceiling, things that really didn't help me to be outside the Tai Chi environment. But that was my first, and my first notebook was, you know, the parts of the body and relax and all different things. I have to say that the people were very welcoming, welcome to have me as a teacher. Yeah, that there was not much barriers. Yeah, I imagine was if someone was from China and came to teach and didn't know any English, they would have learned anyway. You know, like just by copying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also remember now that you asked me regarding doing the classes and teaching Tai Chi three times a day, I would have really, really long sleeps between classes because my head was exhausted. Because like we have 7 a.m., 10 a.m., and then 1 at 5 p.m. And just, you know, driving the different side of the road, doing the Tai Chi in another language,
Yeah, it's amazing how you did so many things, right? Just coming in New Zealand and then doing a Tai Chi and talking in English and was it because I know there is like a big Spanish community. How is that for you? Do you do a lot of activities and how is that integrating into your life?
Well, the Spanish community, we in the 90s was like maybe 3 or 4 of us, and then more people start coming, and we participate in different events. Now, since Facebook started, we're having a Facebook group, basically to help people out, to share information, you know, about a school, doctors, or, you know, or anyone wants to post things about, in general, community information. We not talk about politics in the Latino group, because otherwise we'll be like, a lot of different opinions, and we try to avoid discussion in a community group. I've been involved with a lot of events like the multi-ethnic extravaganza, welcoming rugby teams. You know, whenever it's an Argentinian team coming to town, I've been, they contact me before, not so much now because long time ago, I used to have a restaurant, and I was there with a lot of people coming and going and meeting a lot of people. At the moment, my main thing with the Latino group is we belong to a book club, Spanish book club, that we meet once a month. And we are very actively doing that with with Latino people, Spanish, we say Latino from Spain also, Portuguese, if they want to come. We also have people that speak English that have been improving their Spanish while they come into the book club.
Oh, amazing. We should come too,
right? I just heard about it from Maria Elena.
Maria
Elena shared, I think, before Christmas. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going to my first book club in Spanish in the next month. Can you tell us more about how the club works, and if everyone is reading the same book at the same time, or if it's more a chat about what you have read recently? How does it work?
Okay, firstly, I want to say that the book club was an idea that a señora Mirta Álvarez, she started in Oakland. She's, I think, 83 now, or maybe 82, sorry, I can't remember exactly. Mirta came to New Zealand in the 2000s, and she started a library with a suitcase of books, 20 books. And now the library that is set in Oakland has got over 6,000 books.
Wow. All in Spanish?
In Spanish, it's also some books in Portuguese.
Okay.
Or maybe, I'm not sure about Italian, but definitely most of them in Spanish and some Portuguese. The books were either bought, and now is again asking people bringing from overseas, because the rates of buying books from overseas gone up a lot. And Mirta moved to New Plumen, I can't remember, maybe 10 years ago, because a big book club is going for about 7 years now. And when Mirta came, she brought, of course, I met her and she brought up the idea, and then we thought, okay, we just invite so many people. And I explain you in a minute how the book club works. But I just want to let you know that in March, the book club New Plumen is called Letras Latinas. It's organizing the first get-together of all the New Zealand book clubs, which they are in the North Island.
Wow.
And we're going to have people coming from Auckland, Wellington, Palmerston, or Napier, and ourselves. It's going to be about 45 people coming here and spending about 36 hours together. And we are selling raffle tickles to us to
have,
be host.
I have three already.
Ah, great.
Yeah.
We are going to host it, and we want to invite these people, the branches and the dinas, and it's going to be a great event for culture, really, because reading is so important. The book club works this way. A meeting is once a month, and we have a theme, like, say, could be gothic, could be poems, could be, let's talk about spring, and then we are free to choose a book or a poem or something written. And then when we meet, which is about 14 of us, if the club gets any bigger, we may be going to have to split because of the time. We start at 7 p.m. after people come back, finish work, and if it's 20, it stands too much, because it's on a Thursday night. And we talk about that. Everyone's got it. Now we have to put a timer, because sometimes we're over the time and we drag it too long. Then we have 5 minutes to talk about your author and your book, to comment. And if we got books from the library, we bring it back and exchange the books there. Or you can belong to this library, which is $25 for life. I mean, you don't pay again unless you get the book sent to you. You pay for the courier, but we can. If you have a book from the library, you bring it back and exchange. Otherwise, it's just most of the time it's about talking about the books, and we say what is the theme. Next month is free, because normally we will be reading anything. We don't have a set subject, and then everyone can comment on anything that they read during the summer.
Wow, that's an amazing initiative, because I have been missing reading in Spanish.
Okay.
Because everything we do here is in English, and it's awesome. But I think my brain needed to read in Spanish, and I also noticed that I was forgetting some words, even if it might sound weird. But so I have started reading again in Spanish, and trying to get some books every time I go to Spain, because it's not easy always to find books here.
Yeah.
So now the library is based here?
The library is based in Auckland, and it's a website and a link for you to look at what books are there, working on that, because it's so much. We have a lot of books this summer. People have been to Colombia and Spain, and they brought books with them. And then you can look at the catalog and then request the books that you want to have, and then they will send that to you from Auckland.
Awesome. We will share all those links, like the link for the raffle, or how people can get tickets. And and the link for the library, so that like all Spanish speakers or people that are wanting to practice Spanish can access that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I learned last time when I was talking to somebody that the New Plumen Library used to have books in Spanish or other languages, but they don't have it anymore. I don't know if it's correct, but that means
I don't know either.
Yeah, I haven't been looking for books in Spanish, but one of the people that come to the group told us that. That means there is a library.
There is a library.
Okay, so great. And I know that one of our co-hosts, Laura, she was also part of the Spanish book club. Maybe you know her already.
Like Laura, I know Laura. Yeah. She was helping me to do the baskets this morning for the raffle tickets.
Yeah, amazing. Say hello, that we miss her a lot. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about multi-ethnic extravaganza and how is that for you? Are you part of the committee? Do you go with a flag, Argentinian flag, when is the day? Or?
Well, depends. I have to start from the beginning, which on those times when we have the first extravaganzas, I used to have the restaurant. And I put my family under pressure that I was opening on Friday night. And it's under, we have the stall of selling empanadas. Plus, I also want to parade. And I had to put my Kiwi husband in charge of a lot of things. Why? I just want to say why I did it. And I'm not sure if I will be involved this year because I might be busy. But I did it to show and demonstrate our food culture. What we do is wasn't just for a financial situation. I can't find the word. It wasn't just because I want to make lots of money out of the extravaganza. I just want to bring the Argentinian food to the people that can't travel overseas or they never try empanadas. We are talking here about 95, 96. You know, like now more people know is, you know, people food from many other countries in Taranaki. I did parade, did the parade when I did not have food in the next day because it was very hard
to do
for my husband to be in the stall. One day I arrived after the parade and he had a queue of people there. Then a few years ago I did the parade and I didn't have the food stall. Sometimes I carry the flag, but now I think it's quite a good big Argentinian community now.
It is, right?
Yeah. The new generation, like much younger than me, and then I think they are looking great parading. If I think it's good just to let, if I'm not busy, I will go, but if I, it's other younger people to represent us, great.
Do you know when is the event happening this year? Is there
date? Yes, it is a date, but I don't have it in my head. Okay. It's the weekend, isn't it the weekend following the long
March,
weekend?
Right?
It's in March, it's always
somewhere.
In March.
Yeah.
I think it's the weekend of Taranaki anniversary.
Okay, nice.
But I think it's the weekend when we have the book club meeting.
Which is good.
We won't be able to go because the people coming from outside New Zealand, outside Taranaki, we start about 10 a.m. on the Saturday.
I had a question for you, if that's okay. So we had recently one of our friends, Jose, from Argentina. He was staying with us for 1 week. And he told us a little bit about the Argentinian culture. And he had with him this mate, you know, and he had like a small cup and like a straw.
Yeah.
And he was telling us that in Argentina, it's so important, the community and staying together and doing things together. And he was telling us about mate, that when you, you know, we are with your friends and you have to drink very slowly.
Yes.
From the mate. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I found it fascinating.
Yes, of course.
Mate
is, okay, the word mate means many things.
Yeah.
Mate is the vessel where you put the sherba, which will sherba. Be translated as the herb or the tea. We call it sherba mate or yerba mate, depends which part of Argentina you're from, because some people say the sh or some people say the y as a soft y. Then we have the mate, the vessel, like you were talking, and also the yerba or the herb or the tea, and goes inside the vessel. And then the straw is like a sipping straw, but at the end it's got like a little filter with small holes, because if you were going to drink out of a straw, then the tea will, you will be sucking the tea, which the little holes stop the tea from running through the straw, and then you just drink the liquid.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was not like a normal straw.
No. Oh, it's okay. Got, yeah.
Yeah, it has,
I
like, yeah.
Brought one.
Mm, it's nice. A different one, yeah.
And the mate, the herb grows in the Mesopotamia area of Argentina, which is northwest near Paraguay and Brazil, where it's very tropical, and gets packed. The dry and then pack, and we have different brands, like we have teas or coffees here, lots of different brands, the cheaper, the good one. And the water is going to be no hotter than 68 degrees, because imagine if you put boiling water in the mate and you suck it straight away, you burn your yeah. throat.
It's
and everything.
A metal straw, yeah. right?
That yeah. means when we have it, we heat up the kettle, we always are aware of the noise that the kettle makes, and it's before boiling. Oh, and we can put the water on the thermos, or we can drink it straight from the kettle, but the thermos now, most everyone uses the thermos now. And okay, then you pour the water in the mate, which I'm talking now about the mate already, the whole thing, which is the vessel, the tea, and the straw. You pour the water, and then you sip it, and you sip the whole thing slowly, not like
slowly,
yeah, just a bit. You can say a few words, sip, sip, and then you finish. And then if I'm the server, the person that pours the water, I pass it to another person, and then she drinks it, pass it back to me, and I pass it back to there. It's kind of sort of a tradition. You don't take the thermos away from somebody and just go, you know, hurry up, you know, no. And you talk. And if you're a foreign person and have the mate for first time, you don't play with the straw and touch it.
Yes.
Because the way that the straw is, it makes the water to flow. If you start touching it and play with it, then it gets blocked. Then it's, we always say, it's not a microphone. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And then that's our tradition. And since the time that you, like I say, I get up in the morning, I have a mate at home first with my husband. He's been drinking mate for the last 30 years, I think. Aww. We drink mate every morning, and then we drink coffee later or something else. In Argentina, every time when you go and visit somebody, let's have a mate. 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Alcohol comes later, like, always is mate, mate, mate. Doesn't matter the time of the day, it's like you have a mate. No, we don't have it with food, okay, at lunchtime. We don't have it in the middle of the day with lunch. If it's a cooked lunch, you drink soda water or something else.
Yeah.
But like here, people offer you a cup of tea, there is mate. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I think it's great, the tradition that you do, like how you drink it. And like Jose was also telling us, it's so important with the straw, how you hold it, and
yes.
what you say, and, you know, and I found it fascinating that the Argentinians have this kind of welcoming culture and making people feel well, like also the turn on the table, that everybody sits down and you wait for the cook to come.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's so important.
Yes, yes. And always in the barbecue, is the clap to the barbecue person. Un aplauso para el asador. We have a barbecue that takes hours to be made, you know, because it's on charcoal. And then we all sit at the table, and everyone has to clap and say well done to the barbecue person.
Wow.
Yeah.
So important.
And the meals go for hours. Nobody's rushing. Like, I had my first barbecue for my husband's family here, and I did the Argentinian way. First, we bring the sausage, and then you bring the chicken, and then you bring the beef. You know, it's not everything put at all in one tray. Just bring it, passing around, and it could take like 2 hours to go through the whole thing. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's more like a ritual. With a very important social part.
And conversations and children sitting at the table, not in somewhere else, or kick away, and they talk, and you know, let them talk. Mostly it's about soccer.
It's about soccer. Yeah. Messy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the cuisine is very meat heavy with roasted or grilled on charcoal, and you mentioned empanadas.
Yeah.
For listeners who may not know what an empanada is, do you want to describe what that is?
The what?
What an empanada is?
Ah, yeah, sure.
And anything else about the Argentinian cuisine you'd like to share?
Yeah, I would love to share about the Argentinian cuisine because in Argentina, we are 98% European descendant. That means many of our, much of our heritage are from Spain, Italy. We also have people from Poland, Germany, England, France. Then the gaucho, the men of the pampas, and they used to eat a lot of meat and grains because we are big in grains too, you know, wheat, corn, and all sorts of grains. And I was going to say one more thing. That we also have a lot of regional stews that they are not well known, because the barbecue, the asado, is like, you know, everyone talks about the Argentinian beef, but we have a lot of stews from the countryside. And the empanadas, they are, if you were going to compare with the English culture, it looks like a pasty, but the stuffing is, most of it is beef. But in Argentina, we have, for example, I live in Buenos Aires, and the main takeaway is empanadas. And you can have cheese, cheese and ham, cheese and blue cheese, cheese and onions, beef, minced beef, beef cut with a knife, which makes a difference with the other one, stew beef, chicken, tuna, and different shops or different families make the different traditional stuffing. And then you have your round ring of pastry, which is normally a short crust pastry. In the old times, used to be made with lard because make it tastier, but now we're looking after it and deep fry after, but now it's short, kind of short crust, low fat bake. and then you choose the stuffing. Also, we have sweet corn, creamy sweet corn. And then you fold it in half, and then you do the repulgue, which is the twisting that I teach my students here, and it's quite fun to show them how to do that. But what I was going to point out that empanadas, every province has their own different empanadas. Some they come with potatoes, some will come with boiled eggs, some will come with raisins. And then I have a little mini book that tells you the empanadas of very much a different province, which are making quite interesting. And we don't make them too hot, like a spicy hot, up in north of Argentina, because it's where it's very cold and people use more chilies there. But in Buenos Aires or in the center of Argentina, they are very much mild because summertime could be 36 degrees and the wintertime is not so cold. And the spices, we are not big in spices in Buenos Aires, and spices as heat, I'm talking about that spices. And just to finish it off about our cuisine, besides the meat, which is the barbecues, and the difference, if you ask me, with kiwi barbecues, is like we cook the whole piece of beef. If we were going to have a steak, we don't cook separate steaks. We buy 2 kgs of beef, and you cook the whole thing on the barbecue. That's why it takes a long time. And now that you're just doing a steak by steak. But we have a big range of food, like how we have potato omelette from Spain. We have beautiful risottos, beautiful pasta. We just won the best ice cream in the world, comes from Argentina.
Oh,
there was an
really?
Ice cream competition last week. And we got third in gelato.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Interesting.
Here in Plymouth? Or?
That means we have a lot of French food. I love that flavor of French food in our cuisine. Like, it's a big menu in homes. In restaurants, it's very much always the same. A schnitzel, papa frita, potato omelette, raviolis, gnocchis, and barbecue. Yeah, it's a mixture. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
Oh, everything.
Everything that you enjoy the most from Argentinian cuisine, when you cook for yourself or for your family?
Depends. I always say depends of the produce, where it comes from, or who I'm cooking it for. Like, I love to make homemade pasta. Like, I like to make fresh raviolis with spinach and ricotta. But I also have, like, I bought a beautiful lamb, and I've been doing it in the barbecue, and I like that tradition, you know, just light the fire and take a long time and make the chimichurri, the sauce, and maybe make homemade bread. Honestly, I don't have one favorite. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting pretty hungry here.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Fortunately and unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time together here on the show. It's gone super fast.
Oh, wait.
And definitely raising my appetite. Something that we always ask our guests is if they were giving advice to a friend who's about to move to a new country, how would you, what advice would you give them to help them figure out how to settle into a new place and make themselves at home?
I will say get involved with the community. Yeah, yeah. And I know it's very hard now because we got all these things that we didn't have 30 years ago, like being, you know, since access to information through internet or social media. But just get involved with the community, belong to a club, be curious about the culture. If you want to learn more about Maori culture, since they are accessible to learn about it, because it's quite important to know about what's going on in New Zealand society. And it's a lot of places and activities where people can get involved. And that's the way to learn English or practice or understand the Kiwi accent, because I met a lot of people that know English before they came, but then it's hard to get into the understanding the Kiwi accent. Yeah, just get involved in the community, ask questions to another person, go meet your neighbor. We have English partners. What is English language partners? Yeah. They offer help with English, but it's not only about getting that lesson once a week. It's about getting out there and try to be involved and meet people.
So important for the community, right?
And it's a lot of help provided by all different, like you have the community advice bureau, and you know people need help and don't know where to go. Yeah. I'm sure that some neighbor or some person could help them out.
Yeah, amazing. Well, it was such a pleasure to meet you today, Marta. And it was nice to know more about Argentina, and I'm looking forward to move and go there in Argentina, because I met so many Argentinians.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, we know Clarissa.
Yes.
And going to her party, it's so lively and full of joy. I feel that Argentinians are always there and having fun. So I really enjoy to have them around me. Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you, Clara and Brian, for hosting with me today. Hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, and thanks, Marta. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. That was nice, and I hope that if any person listening the show that feels not confident not settling New Zealand, also give it time and get out there and meet people.
Thank you, Marta. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. And if people want to get in touch with you, is that okay if we give them your contact or...
They can send me. You can tell me.
I can let you know.
Of course, yeah.
If there are new Argentinians in town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he said, oh, maybe we'll share the Latinos Facebook group.
Yes, we can do that.
And then they can apply there without saying that they are agree with the terms, because a lot of people want to be friends of this group and they don't even read, you know, what the terms are.
Yeah.
No politics.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. That you're going to be living here. Because it's, it's got a few, not restrictions, but points to say what,
Amazing.
Just do it via Facebook. We don't have an Instagram account.
Yeah, we will share all the links of the things that we shared about.
And if you want to participate, anyone listening to financially wants to participate and get together of the Spanish library, also... put a comment in the Facebook page of the program. And I will be in touch.
Yeah, when it will be, can you tell us again?
Pardon?
The dates.
When is the date?
It's going to be on the 7th of March.
7th of March. Yeah. Okay, so we still have time.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy your day and see you next time. Same time, same place.
Take care, Taranaki.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.